This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peake, here with Tim Henney. Well, our first guest this morning, Dr. Robert Zembrowski, is a specialist in functional medicine. He's a clinical nutritionist and a transformational speaker with more than 24 years of experience in private practice. The very interesting thing about Dr. Zembrowski is that he's a cancer survivor, and while treating himself and trying to rebuild his health following chemo and radiation, he created a protocol that will not only help those recovering from injury or disease, but the rest of us who just want to attain a higher degree of health. This is a comprehensive plan also developed from years of professional experience. Dr. Zembrowski, or Dr. Z, has written a new book. It's called Rebuild, 5 Proven Steps to Move from Diagnosis to Recovery and Be Healthier Than Before. Rebuild provides simple yet proven guidelines to ensure that what you eat, how you exercise, and how you manage other aspects of your lifestyle contribute to your personal recovery and to the level of health you want to achieve. Dr. Zembrowski, welcome to The Mountain Life. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with this. You have a pretty compelling personal story, and it all leads up to why you wrote this book, Rebuild. And it has to do with a cancer diagnosis and then how you came back to optimum health after having a 5-inch tumor removed from your chest. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I mean, basically, my cancer diagnosis led me into the, what I call crisis care medicine, where I had to go through chemotherapy, radiation. And then being my own advocate, I pushed them to cut the tumor out of my chest or split me open to remove it, a procedure they say they haven't done before. And so I dove into the research quite a bit to try to understand my disease, but also to try to create a plan to rebuild myself, not only from the disease itself, but to prevent future health issues. And so, again, I really became an advocate for my own health and dove into the research. And so I developed a plan that allowed me to restore my health basically to a place that I was better than before. And again, that's using methods of functional medicine. But by following the plan, I've been disease-free for 10 years now. I'm 50 years old and just became 10 years cancer-free as a cancer anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I wrote Rebuild really after pushing the limits of crisis care to save my life. I wanted to rebuild my body and restore my health back to excellence. I looked for professionals. I read tons of books. I couldn't really find anything that gave me the meat of what I needed to know to rebuild myself. And nothing was available. So there were bits and pieces, but nothing really comprehensive, no really state-of-the-art plan out there for me. That gave me my path forward. So I dove into the research. I created a personal protocol that allowed me to rebuild myself how I was before. And what, Lynn, ironically, what in my research, while digging through the research, it clearly showed that all health issues and disease have common threads in their causes. Heart disease, cancer, obesity, diabetes, Alzheimer's. There was really a common link. And although individual diagnoses might be different from person to person, if this plan worked for me at restoring my health or rebuilding my health, it would work for others with chronic conditions or serious disease, and it has on countless people. So I wrote the book to provide accurate information to others about chronic health issues and disease. Again, that worked for me and my patients. And I also realized by writing the book, I can impact more people than just the people I saw in my practice. Right. So really, Rebuild became my calling.
Yeah. Well, what a great calling. I found it very interesting as I was reading through your book. It occurred to me that if we have an orthopedic issue, you know, we break our leg, we tear our rotator cuff, we have surgery, and then we have this long, period of time that we're getting physical therapy. And it just kind of occurred to me that if we have a cancer diagnosis or something like that, we go through chemo and radiation, and then it's sort of, you know, then you're kind of turned out into the world, and there isn't really that follow-up. And
Yeah, this is what you're providing for us. You talk about something called medical apathy, and I think this happens to a lot of people when we're just so overwhelmed with a diagnosis, or we just have the tendency to say, oh, the doctor is the expert, they'll tell me what to do, I'm handing it over. And then we just kind of, well, we're apathetic. Can you talk about how you've seen a shift in people that, you've helped with functional medicine kind of ward off the medical apathy?
You know, and it's a great point. As we see, I see countless people here, and they come in with briefcases full of folders and tests with no real resolve. And again, since I've been through it, and personally and physically through a situation like this, I understand what people are going through. And so the medical apathy is really a learned helplessness where people aren't getting help, so they just give up. And I think it's important to realize in a functional medical model, we basically, as specialists in functional medicine, we treat the why and not the what. As you said before, you get some kind of treatment for some health condition or orthopedic condition or mental condition, whatever it may be, and then you're thrown out into the world to try to figure it out. And I think it's important for people who hear this or people that search for different aspects of healthcare out there that functional medicine really is an approach. It's a phase in someone's healthcare that enables the practitioner to look for the reasons behind the disease or the health issues. And I also think it's important to know that functional medicine is an approach to finding the biological clues. It's like an archaeological dig. You're looking for the clues as to why something happened. And so functional medicine really, or a functional medicine practitioner, would be looking for those clues and trying to relate it to someone's current health issue. And the really cool thing is a functional medicine practitioner also will choose the treatment that will solve the problem rather than throwing things at it. And so if someone develops medical apathy, I think they need to search out and find somebody who specializes in functional medicine.
Dr. Z, I'm curious about your health situation prior to your cancer. And what when you talk about you rebuilt yourself to be in a better health position, can you compare what you were before and how you were better after?
Well, that's a real long story. However, I have always considered myself to be fit and healthy, if you will, previous to a cancer diagnosis. But about 18 months or 2 years previous to my diagnosis, I had an avalanche of stress happen to me in my clinic, personally, in my home. I was living the dream. My practice was at an all-time high, and then it all came crashing down at me at once. And like many people do, I don't want to say abuse, but for no better words, abuse ourselves, trying to medicate ourselves with alcohol to try to sleep. I can speak personally, eating junk food on the run, worrying about what my future holds. And basically 2 years after that, the smoke had cleared from all of that. I'm staring at a 5-inch tumor in my chest. So basically I went the medical route, chemo, radiation, and then had them open me up to remove the tumor. And again, based on my rebuild protocols, I used those protocols to then take my health to a whole new level. So it wasn't that I wasn't healthy before. It was a period of time that I became super unhealthy, if you will. And incredible stress and the stress reaction really tore apart my immune system. And as they have it, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma is an immune disease. And so I took these principles of functional medicine, I put it into this protocol, and I used it to rebuild muscle tone, get my body fat back to even better than it was before, reduce any inflammatory markers that have ever existed. So I guess I can say that I took my health to a level greater now than it was in the past, because I need to be my own experiment. I needed to be my own Frankenstein to say, hey, will these principles really work at warding off disease or preventing it from coming back in the future? And certainly, could I take my health to a different level? And certainly at 50 years old, using these principles, I did.
And I know that you've packaged it through your personal experience and as a convalescence plan to rebuild your health and take it to a higher level. But it seems that this would also apply to people who are just trying to raise their wellness threshold without any consideration about a current disease or a rebuild after a disease, you know, the convalescence period, but just trying to focus on a higher level of wellness and a more robust immune system to begin with.
I mean, what a great point. And I think people often ask me, hey, Doc, or friends will say, hey, Z, what, you wrote a book about cancer. And I'm like, no, the book isn't about cancer. And to your point, if you use the five, basically, big five principles that are outlined in the book, you rebuild your internal terrain. You rebuild your body to prevent a health issue. And so why wait until the train crashes? Why wait until a catastrophe happens where you then ask yourself the question, now what? What do I do? Who do I go? What kind of treatments will work? And then you're checking out Dr. Google all day long. That may provide you with wrong information, where the principles outlined really do allow the reader or the person to create a personal plan based on their unique health issues. And again, coming back to your point, you rebuild yourself to prevent the health issue. And again, as I say, it's easier to rebuild your health than to deal with it once it fails.
Yeah. So going back to the root mechanisms of disease, and this is a big part of what functional medicine is all about, and as you say, preventing those things. I was going through your list, and it's really interesting because in this list of sort of chronic conditions, you include cancer, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, and as you've already said, they are all interrelated. There is a common thread between all of these. But some of those seem much more preventable than others. And on the surface, something like, type 2 diabetes is very preventable. Cancer, I think we look at as less preventable. So if you could take us to that root cause of cancer, you preface it by talking about stress and a compromised immune system and a little bit about inflammation, which I'm really interested in, the whole inflammatory process and what it does to us.
You know, inflammation as a response to something, whether it's gluten, dairy, casein in dairy, whether it's white refined sugars, these are things that we can control. And as you mentioned, type 2 diabetes as an adult onset or a preventable disease, it is. And we know that to be true. But if we're looking at these other chronic health issues that really stem from systemic inflammation and are driven by systemic inflammation, which is really just a reaction of the immune response to some abnormal signal, even if you look at cancers per se or heart disease, why aren't teenagers and adolescents having, fatal myocardial infarcts or heart attacks? Why aren't 13 and 14-year-old young women, young girls developing breast cancer? So the mechanisms of these health issues, sometimes it takes time before they actually rear their ugly face in the human body. And so type 2 diabetes is something that is a gradual thing. It's not something that just is an overnight disease process, just like atherosclerosis and the development of cancer. And again, Pharmaceutical Research, which is a journal that I've cited in the book, says 95% of all cancers are rooted in lifestyle. And if that's the case, then what is it that we're doing to ourselves that actually over time create the disease process where the DNA doesn't repair itself or the arteries get swollen and inflamed or blood sugar becomes dysregulated and or autoimmune diseases where the immune system attacks yourself? This is a timing thing. And I think if people realize that disease is self-inflicted, I know it's tough to hear, but if people realize that it is self-inflicted, then we have more control over these conditions than we think. And the root driver of all disease, unquestionably, is inflammation. And there's different things that drive the inflammatory response. Again, inflammation is the white blood cells basically just creating a war inside your body. And the war can be affecting different tissues that can lead to a different pathology or diagnosis like cancer, heart disease, and autoimmune disease, and so forth. So yes, you're correct. Systemic inflammation or inflammation is the root driver of these diseases.
How much is inflammation created by lack or poor gut health? We hear so much about gut health being sort of also the driver of everything that happens systemically in your body.
You know, the research is really, really, I'm excited about it because I'm a research buff. Maybe I'm a little bit of a nerd about it all, but I love the fact that the data is showing that tons of different health conditions are related to the gut. There's 30 feet of tube from one end to the next. And there's some sources say 50, 60, 70% of the immune system is actually attached to the gut. So whatever comes in has to be recognized as friendly or a foe. And if it's a foe, sometimes casein from dairy, stress like the stress hormone cortisol, and gluten can actually cause the gut to become compromised or leaky gut. That's pretty popular out there now as a proven condition, if you will, where certain proteins and things leak through the intestinal system and cause an immune response in the body, which then as a secondary problem is really the creation of chronic illnesses. In fact, I'm working with a Parkinson's patient right now who the gut research is saying that a lot of people with these neurodegenerative problems have abnormal gut bacteria, or the microbiota or microbiome in the gut is altered. So a lot of diseases stem from the gut. And again, what does it cause? Systemic inflammation.
Well, and we're kind of running low on time, so I think we should talk about the specifics of the book a little bit. And I think this is just such a great guide for people, very accessible. You've broken it down into three sections. One is talking about how these diseases can occur and the health of the immune system and that wellness threshold that we talked about. And then you talk about different practices or the plan, the specifics of the plan broken down into five very specific topics. And then the third section is all about recipes. And I think that's a great addition to the book where you actually give people practical recipes that they can implement into their nutrition system. But let's go back and talk about that middle section. And, you know, number one is eating for your genes. What can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So there's, as I've outlined in the book, there's five big steps to recover or rebuild from a chronic health issue or disease, or like we said before, as we mentioned with Lynn, that you can rebuild the body to prevent things from happening. So the first thing is to, as I stated, you have to eat for your genes. And we all need, and I think we realize now that food is information that regulates countless functions, and it regulates genetic functions that create, or gene function that creates good health. And the second thing that I mention is exercise with periods of intensity. And I think everybody knows at this point, or it's well established at this point, that exercising is mandatory for your health. It's also crucial to overcome chronic health issues and rebuild from disease. And so I've outlined a specific type of exercise called high-intensity interval training in there that is the fastest way to do that. And number three, as a third point, manage your stressors, or as I say, hit the brakes on the stress response. Chronic and unmanaged stress sets off crazy toxic chemical reactions in the body, and it causes a flood of inflammatory stress hormones that can ignite and promote the formation of disease and certainly prevent anybody from recovering from one. And number four, rebooting your internal clock. I mean, you have to rebuild your sleep and wake cycle. And sleep, I don't think people realize this, is a period of inactivity. It's a suspension of consciousness where the body reboots itself. And a lack of sleep disrupts actually many internal functions of the body, which ultimately sets the stage for disease. So sleep is important. In fact, 2 hours, if we're supposed to get 8 hours of sleep and we get six, the data says that starts the process of systemic inflammation. So a lack of sleep is pretty dangerous in any kind of chronic health issue. And the last thing is, which I enjoyed writing this, was to reduce contamination. And again, which is really about eliminating and reducing our exposure to both eaten or ingested and environmental toxins. And that's anything from gluten, casein, white refined flours, methylmercury from fish, and any other thing that we inhale, put on our skin, or ingest.
Doctors,
so there's five big steps.
Dr. Z, can you, just going back to the exercise with periods of intensity, could you give a practical example so that our listeners go, oh, that's what he means? Not delving into the specifics, but programs that they might be familiar with, like CrossFit, for example. Is there something you could point to illustrate what intensity training is?
Yes. And so high-intensity interval training is basically exactly what it sounds like. It's an all-out burst of effort of physical activity followed by some short period of rest. And if you think about a sprinter, they're not moving, then they explode for a short period of time, then they stop. And that's the intensity. So basically high intensity could be done with CrossFit. It could be done with weights. It could be done on a treadmill, a stationary bike, the Peloton bikes. It could be done on the road. So it doesn't matter what the activity you choose to do or the exercise. Just remember, the high intensity is a period of absolutely explosive movement, whatever that explosive movement is for you, and then periods of rest in between. And so there's tons. Obviously, I've outlined it in my book fairly well, but there's tons of exercise protocols of high-intensity interval training online. And again, this all depends on somebody's disabilities, their impairments, their ability. Some people don't like to go to the gym. You can do it at home. So it's really a unique way to, you know, rebuild your body. And again, the high-intensity interval training is explosive movement followed by periods of rest.
I love to talk about high-intensity interval training, and we had interviewed someone who wrote a book called The One-Minute Workout. I'm forgetting who it was, but he had done a ton of research on it. And the biggest takeaway for me there was, you know, I think especially as we age, I'm thinking of my mother who says she exercises all the time because she gardens. And his point was, no, you got, even if it's walking, you can do high-intensity interval training even walking. And like you're saying here, you can do it at home. It doesn't have to be something that, you know, Olympic athletes do or professional athletes. So that's a good takeaway.
And you're right. I mean, you don't have to be a super athlete to do this. I mean, if you can walk fast and then slow down, that's high intensity interval training. And all exercising is not the same, right? And again, the data, as you say, is really showing high intensity interval training is the exercise of choice to rebuild from a health issue.
Wanted to ask you briefly before we let you go about sleep, going back to how important it is. And it seems like we're hearing more and more of this in the research and literature, the importance of sleep, which I'm a big fan of. I'm a fan of the afternoon nap myself, especially if I didn't get that 8 hours the previous night. I think it's wonderful. And, you know, we talk to people and ask about, you know, sleep enhancers and you know, what's your take on all that, even something like melatonin?
So sleep is an anabolic process. I mean, when we fall asleep, growth hormones released, which then starts to repair the body. So sleeping is really a way that the body control alt deletes itself, it reboots itself. So internal functions and physiology starts to change. When you lose sleep, and even that's 2 hours minus the 8 hours, right? That you start to increase the inflammatory response, which prevents repairing your body, and so forth. And so you know how you feel when you don't sleep enough. And the research is showing that a loss of sleep, even just 2 hours, is enough to start causing inflammation. And a lot of people ask me about sleep aids and Ambien and melatonin. And the reality is, in my clinical experience working with people, melatonin really isn't it. Rather than eating, you know, a good quality animal-based protein, which then becomes tryptophan. Tryptophan becomes serotonin, and then serotonin becomes melatonin. And so there's a lot of reasons why people, as melatonin is the sleep hormone that knocks you out, but there's a lot of reasons why people can't sleep. For a lot of women, it's a progesterone deficiency. For men and women, it's high cortisol or a thyroid dysfunction. I mean, there's a lot of different physical reasons, and I think it's important people realize that you need to find the why and not just take some sleep aid like Ambien, or you're going to just, you know, let melatonin dissolve under your tongue in hopes that you're going to change it, rather than finding why you're not sleeping.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the book is Rebuild, 5 Proven Steps to Move from Diagnosis to Recovery and Be Healthier Than Before. Our guest is Dr. Robert Zimbrowski. And Dr. Z, your practice is in Southern California, is that right?
No, I am actually on the East Coast. I am in Connecticut, Darien, Connecticut.
Oh, okay. And so I'm wondering if you know, from having written this book, do you get people calling you from all over the nation that just say, you know, I want you to help me with my rebuild?
You know, it's funny that you ask that. And to answer that, yes, we actually have, I'd say that the majority or more than 50-60% of my practice is long distance. People hear about the book, they read it. I get people from Oklahoma, from L.A. I have people from Seattle, Maine, Vermont, Florida, the Keys. I mean, it's pretty incredible that they're finding this information. But they're also, a lot of people live in this, something I call the medical desert, where they don't have access to it. And so I think when people read the book and they get a taste of what the science is saying behind their health issues, then they certainly reach out, which is a great thing.
Yeah, wonderful book. Well, I love the book, and I've loved speaking with you even more. So thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye now.